and thankful for this opportunity to bring you the Word of God. And a wise man once told me, if you're going to preach, you preach where it burns. And there are certain topics in my life and perhaps yours that are pretty powerful. And in the corporate world, I was in charge of all the healthcare, basically around the globe. And the two biggest problems were what they call mental and nervous, which basically meant that instead of just having physical problems in the factories, they were having emotional problems. And that became kind of a pandemic. And so I'd like to, with your indulgence, talk about anxiety tonight, and I'll pray if you may. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us more than we could ever imagine. We thank you, Father, that heaven is waiting for us, and we just pray that we would be found faithful when you come. And Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and allow us to hear the Word of God, and that we would just follow you in every aspect of our lives. Bless us as we hear the Word of God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I was 5 years old, my cousin told me that people don't live forever. I was of the impression that I was going to live forever, and I was devastated. I actually was devastated, and I became anxious about dying and very careful about dying. When I was 7, a boy told me his grandmother had a lump in her mouth and it was cancer, and she was dying. So at this time, I'm getting my second teeth, and I don't understand all this, so I felt my mouth, and there was a lump, and I thought I had cancer. My mother told me I was okay, just second teeth coming in, and I'm thinking, this woman is lying to me. I'm dying, and so I was anxious. When I was 10, my parents went fishing quite a distance away in a remote part of Nova Scotia, and they told me we'd be home Sunday before dark. They weren't home by dark, and anxiety built, and I went down by the highway, and I stood there watching. And I remember, at that age, praying that God would bring one parent home. I was okay to give up one, I guess, but I just wanted to have a parent. Later, they came home, and my anxiety left, but I was still anxious a lot. In fact, even as an adult, I fought anxiety. I worked hard. I saw success, but I was anxious, always fearing the worst. Now, that anxiety dominated my life until 1975, 7 years after Joan and I were married. I had stabilized and I survived, but anxiety was always near. But then on January the 26th, 1975, Joan and I got on our knees. We gave our lives to Christ, and at that moment, I experienced peace for the first time in my life. I didn't know what peace looked like as a child and as a young adult. Now, did anxiety go away and never return? No, of course not. But it was conquered. The power was broken, and anxiety lost its death grip on me as I grew in Christ. But the truth is, I'm still capable of being anxious. If Joan, one of us had to be anxious, it would be me. I've never been able to teach her, as I mentioned, how to be anxious, but I'm working on it. But I have seen victory. But it's also important to know that victory over anxiety is never a one-time event. It's a process. Anxiety never leaves town. But for Christians, the power of anxiety is broken. A few years ago, the U.S. Bureau of Standards did a study on fog in New York City and part of the state. And they found out that fog covering 7 city blocks, if condensed to water, would fill less than 1 glass of water. Yet that fog can cause car accidents and shut down airports. Now, I would submit that anxiety is like that fog. Anxiety can impact our entire lives, shut us down emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And in the corporate world, I spent a lot of time and a lot of money battling that in the workplace. There's a company named Workplace Options, and they did a global study on anxiety and depression. Now, anxiety really literally means to be distracted and drawn away from something, and that something is peace. Depression in the Bible translates to be cast down, to made very low. The study was conducted over a 2-year period, a few years ago as a percentage of the population, and I'll share it just because I think it's pretty powerful. In Asia, 73% of the people are depressed. This was done by government agencies. 32% were anxious. In Europe, Middle East, and Africa, 41.7% of the people were found to be depressed, and 84.2% were acutely anxious. And this was done by world organizations getting together, so they couldn't be cheating on this. In North America, depression hit 25.6% of the people, and anxiety 71%. In Central and South America, 55% of the people there were anxious or depressed, and 23% anxiety. These were done by people that just were verified by governments. They were very accurate. So in North America, in 2 years, depression rose 25.6%, but anxiety rose 71.2%. And as I mentioned, I was in the HR business, and this was sort of part of my job to be able to go to our plants and find out who was anxious and have the statistics necessary. I witnessed healthcare costs exploding, and the greatest increase was in anxiety and depression. Now, before we look at the Bible text, I'd like to say this very clearly. There's no doubt that God commands us to be anxious for nothing, and He would never command us to do something that was impossible. But while victory over anxiety is possible and commanded by God, the starting point is not the same for every Christian. Now, it's important to know that victory over anxiety is not an event, it's a process. Anxiety never really leaves town. In fact, I'm still very capable of being anxious, but I've also experienced the Holy Spirit's power in my life, and that's what conquers anxiety. And with the Holy Spirit comes peace, and God's peace will conquer anxiety. Now, in your life and mine as Christians, we will meet many people who struggle with anxiety. I was the HR guy for several plants, and that was a major factor, the number of people in our world who struggle with anxiety. In fact, in the Bible, even God's people often struggled with anxiety. Listen to Isaiah speaking to the people of Israel, Isaiah 35, verse 4. It says, "Say to those with an anxious heart, take courage, fear not, the Lord will come and deliver you." Listen to King David, Psalm 139:23. You probably know this one. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts." How about Psalm 94, verse 19? "When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul." So there was the first time in the Bible that God showed how it could be conquered. Now, the words "multiply within me" mean getting increasingly anxious. So anxiety is widespread, especially in our world today. Now, with that background, I'd like us to look at John chapter 14, verse 27, a key verse on this. And I listened to our Lord address this issue. That's in Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Here's what the Lord says. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Now notice something very powerful here. When the Lord says, "My peace I leave with you," that is the peace that He possesses. He calls it "my peace." And notice, He's not saying He leaves us with some of His peace. He says He leaves us with His peace, the peace He has, all of it. And I used to rejoice in the corporate world because we had a lot of employees around the world. And to see someone there come to Christ and conquer anxiety was a wonderful thing to see. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "The moment we come to Christ, we have peace with God. We're no longer enemies." But that's no different than two countries signing a peace treaty. It just means they're not at war. They're just at peace with each other at that time. But the Lord wants us to have more than peace with God. He wants us to have the peace of God. What a difference. We can have the peace of God, the peace that God has. And I can stand here and tell you I have experienced that. Now, the truth is our world does not and cannot have God's peace. In fact, I discovered when I was back in the corporate world that of the 162 nations on earth, only 10 are at peace and totally free from all conflict. In fact, listen to Paul describe our world 2,000 years ago and today. In Romans 3:17, he says, "The path of peace they have not known." So in this, the Lord is clear. Our world does not and has not known peace. Why? Because the peace of God is unique to you and me and the body of Christ. No one else has that promise of peace. And our world is hurting in Asia, all over the world. And remember, you and I not only have peace with God, we can also have the peace of God, the peace He has. So the question is, do we have that peace? Now let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 for a moment. It's a very key verse on peace. And it says this, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, a very powerful verse. "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance." Now how's that for a promise? Continuous peace in every circumstance of our lives. No matter what we're doing, no matter where we are, no matter what's happening, that peace is available to us. Now, who gives us this peace? Verse 16, the Lord of peace himself. And how often does he give us this peace? The Bible says continuously. And when does he give us this peace? In every circumstance. Now, that is no matter what peace, and that is what the Lord wants for you and I. Now, allow me to make a distinction regarding anxiety. It is true for any and all Christians that anxiety can be conquered. Even back in the corporate world, there was no such thing as anxiety that could not be conquered. But it's also true that some of us may be more inclined to be anxious than others. I am more inclined to be anxious. Joan has yet to learn how to be anxious, which is a good combination. In fact, there are two types of anxiety to choose from. There is crisis anxiety, and there's chronic anxiety. Crisis anxiety is caused by an event or a circumstance. In other words, a person may not usually be anxious, but some event, sickness, financial problems, or a disaster caused them to be anxious. 21 years ago, on September the 11th, that fatal day of 9/11, I was in a limo on the way to the Boston airport, and the Twin Towers were hit by those two planes. And we turned the limo around and returned to the office, and the workforce was so devastated, we had about 290 people. I had to send them home. They just couldn't handle it. Now, that is crisis anxiety. Now, in crisis anxiety, as the crisis comes and goes, so does the anxiety. But the second type of anxiety is chronic anxiety, when a Christian has an anxious personality. In other words, it's who they are. My background is chronic anxiety. I suffered with it tremendously before I came to Christ. I have an anxious personality. Now, I have victory over anxiety, but I need to call upon my Lord and pray for that victory. It wasn't something that I've done. And he gives me that victory. But whether our anxiety is crisis anxiety or chronic anxiety, the Lord is clear on two things. First, anxiety in a Christian's life distracts us from the peace of God. The Bible says that. But the second is this: anxiety can be defeated. So where's the victory? Where's the victory over anxiety? Well, you're probably familiar with Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where the Lord gives us a clear path to victory. When I counsel people, and I've done some of that in the corporate world, this is where I take them. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Whatever your problem is, whatever you are anxious about, let your requests be made known to God. Listen, and the peace of God, the peace that God has, which surpasses all comprehension, which means we can't even understand it, it's so wonderful, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I have seen that bring new life to so many Christians who are struggling. Now look, let's take a look at two verses, word for word, and let's see what it takes to conquer anxiety. And in verse 6 and 7, we see that it takes four things to conquer anxiety. And I have verified this corporately, and I verified this in the churches that I have pastored. It works. Verse 6 and 7, we'll see it takes four things to conquer anxiety. Look at the first four words here. Be anxious for nothing. That's God speaking. There's no asterisk there that says there are exceptional circumstances. Be anxious for nothing. So here's the first thing it takes to conquer anxiety. It takes God's power. Look at those first four words again. Be anxious for nothing. Now, who can say that? Who can say, be anxious for nothing? Who can say, don't be anxious over your career, your health, your marriage, your finances, your children, or your future? Who can say, be anxious for nothing? Well, only one person can say, be anxious for nothing, and that's the person who controls everything. That's the only person that can say that, and that is our God. Someone, Ephesians 3:20, who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within me. It's got to be someone, 2 Peter 1:3, this is God, whose divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That is who is saying, be anxious for nothing. And that person is here this evening. We call him Lord. We call him Savior. We call him our Lord Jesus Christ. We call him God the Son. But he is here, and he wants to do this in the lives of any Christians that surrender their lives to him and ask him to. Incidentally, 1 Timothy 6:15, it says the Lord is also King of kings and Lord of lords. In other words, he's not God mighty, he's God almighty. And he's the only person in the universe who can say, be anxious for nothing. We had a couple of thousand people in one of our big locations, and I couldn't say to them, be anxious for nothing, because they were human. But God can say that to us, the body of Christ, be anxious for nothing. And if we really trust in him, he will give us that victory. I know that because he's given it to me. He's the only person who controls everything. He is the creator of the earth, and yet in Matthew 10, he does see the sparrow fall. Now, we may think our world is spinning out of control, but the truth is, events are occurring exactly as God prophesies in the Bible, exactly as he has ordained and controls. But know this, when the Lord commands us to be anxious for nothing, we do that in his power. But we can only do that in his power. I found people that decided to try to conquer anxiety. And in the corporate world, I had employees, many of them, that would go to a doctor, get pills, get doped up. And sometimes we had to send them home because they were so doped up. They didn't realize that we can only be anxious for nothing in the power of Jesus Christ. It is the only aspirin you can take that will take away anxiety. So the first thing it takes to conquer anxiety is God's power. Power to say, to be anxious for nothing and make it happen. Here's the second thing it takes to conquer anxiety. It takes our prayers. Listen to verse 6 again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's what it takes. We can be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now this we know from the Bible and from personal experience. God's power flows through prayer. It is a power channel of God's power. God's power flows through prayer. And on this, the Lord is unmistakably clear. In verse 6, he says, if we want to be anxious for nothing, we better, verse 6, be praying about everything. If we are anxious about the safety of our children, we're to pray. If we're anxious over money, health, or the future, we're to pray. And did you know that the Lord even tells us exactly how long to pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he tells us to pray without ceasing. That's how long the Lord wants us praying. You know, the real power source in a church is the Word of God and prayer. And when you get that dual going, wonderful things happen. You have the Word of God here in this church, and you have it. You have prayer. But that prayer has got to be personalized and be in our homes. The power in a church comes when it's a praying church, and God's power flows into our homes when we pray. And we can be praying for this thing called anxiety. I've seen elders praying before church services and meetings, praying for our church and our community. And the truth is, if we want powerful churches, not necessarily big ones, but powerful churches, powerful homes, powerful marriages, then verse 7 must be a big part of our lives. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now here's the difference between prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer here actually translates worship, literally to move toward the Lord, to come into his presence and worship him. This is where we get to know him and praise him for all he is and all he does. Literally, we move toward the Lord and come into his presence and worship. This is where we get to know him and praise him. Supplication in verse 6 in the Greek is to petition and request or beg the Lord, asking for specific things with intensity. This is where we pray for our families, our church, our community, our nation. This is where we ask for forgiveness and direction for our lives. But also notice the supplication, the petitions and the requests come after we bow in worship and praise. And then in verse 6, the Lord reminds us that as we come to the Lord in both prayer and supplication, we are to be thankful. You know what's found in the book of Psalms more than all the Old Testament books combined? It's the word thanks. It is found in the book of Psalms more than all of the books in the Old Testament combined. You see, when I pray with thanksgiving, I'm remembering who he is in my life and all he's done for me. And as I remember all he's done, I pray with greater expectation and the prayer becomes more powerful. So the Lord wants us to come into his presence with prayer, worshiping him, and then supplication, asking him for things with thanksgiving, remembering who he is and what he's done. Professor R. Rainey, a Scottish theologian, wrote this: the way to be anxious about nothing is to be praying about everything. So the first thing it takes to conquer anxiety is God's power. Power for us to be anxious for nothing. And the second thing it takes to conquer anxiety is our prayer before the Lord. And I pray a lot. What I tend to want to do is to just talk to the Lord. And sometimes that's the best kind of prayer. Verse 6, in everything, all of our anxieties, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then here's the third thing it takes to conquer anxiety. It's God's peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this next thing is God's response when our requests are made known to him. When we let our requests be made known unto God, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, can't be understood, it's so great. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, guaranteed, promised by God. Now notice when verse 7 mentions the peace of God, it's the direct opposite of anxiety. In fact, this is 100% true. The absence of peace is anxiety. The absence of anxiety is peace. Now those words, peace of God, here are unique in the Bible because peace comes only from God. But the truth is, we can have peace from God, but it may not be enough. But if we have the peace of God, that's a peace he has, and he offers that. He offers that to us. And that's why in verse 7, the peace of God surpasses all comprehension. In other words, we can't understand it. It's beyond the mind of man. And that's God's promise in our anxiety. He offers us the peace of God, the peace he has. And that's the third thing it takes to conquer anxiety, God's peace. Finally, in verse 7, we see it takes one more thing for us to be anxious for nothing. It takes God's protection. Look at verse 7 one last time. And the peace of God, his peace, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the word guard means to surround and protect. And notice what is guarding our hearts. The peace of God, the peace he has, guarding our hearts and minds. Did you know that the word heart is found 165 times in the New Testament? And not once does it refer to our physical heart. 165 times the word heart is mentioned, and not once does it refer to our physical heart. In fact, every time we see the word heart in the New Testament, cardia, it translates the center of our feelings and our emotions. And the word minds in the Greek is the place of intellect and perception. And God wants to guard both in you and me. He wants to guard our hearts, and he wants to guard our minds. Now, how well does this work? Well, it works well enough for the Lord to be able to say to you and I, be anxious for nothing. That's what God is saying. We can be anxious for nothing no matter where the starting point is, because I was pretty far back in the line. So where do we start? Well, we start where God tells us to start. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, the peace God has, which surpasses all comprehension, we can't understand it, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Did you notice that there's only one command there for us? Prayer. Prayer with supplication and thanksgiving. And notice again how God answers prayer here. He says nothing about answering our request, nothing about removing what's making us anxious. You see what God's answer is? Peace. The peace of God, the peace he has. Be anxious for nothing. Pray, and I'll give you peace. Peace where? In every circumstance. Peace when? While we wait upon the Lord. How much peace? Peace beyond anything we can comprehend. Peace that will do what? Peace that will guard our hearts and minds. And I can tell you that I am a wounded warrior in this case, but my fear, my anxiety was crippling. And even as I rose up in the corporate world, I still had it. But when I was able to truly lay these things in the hands of God and recognize his power working through me, the anxiety has gone down 87.5%. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this is a tough topic, Father, in the Word of God, but it's also one of the most powerful. And Father, I know that in plants here and in Europe and in Asia, the anxiety of people was a dominant factor, even to the health of corporations. But Father, it doesn't have to be that way. Our world will lose peace and can't get it back. Our world is filled with anxiety and they can't do anything about it. But we are the body of Christ, and to us, you say, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, the peace God has, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, let that be our portion. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.